We are moving right to the sermon this morning, which is back in Romans 8, where we left off. Verse 26 and then 27 are our verses for today. And so hear now the word of the Lord. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You may have heard some interesting interpretations of this passage before, but often it is because they ignore or forget the context of Romans 8, of where the apostle is in the middle of speaking about, which is suffering. He began by listing the great benefits of believing in Christ, that there is no condemnation for the Christian. He is eternally forgiven, and that we now possess God's Holy Spirit. He lives in us permanently. And yet, after that, we saw 2 weeks ago that he speaks of not giving up. And we said the reason is because the benefits of salvation come in two stages. In theology, we often call this the already and the not yet. We already have eternal forgiveness and God's love, but many of the promises for the Christian await us in the future. We don't have new bodies. We still struggle with sin and suffering and all the difficulties of life. And so he's explaining that what keeps us going is hope. Notice how the last section ends, that it is hope that encourages us, that we look ahead to the fulfillment of the promises, even while we suffer in this life. Now notice how verse 26 begins. Likewise, or maybe better in some translations, in the same way. He's saying in the same way that hope helps us, that hope sustains us as Christians, so also the Holy Spirit sustains us and helps us as Christians, specifically in our prayers. And that is the focus of these two verses. Now, if you want to make a Christian feel bad, I have a question you can always ask him or her. How's your prayer life? You make almost all Christians feel bad if you ask that question. How's your prayer life? And the reason is what the apostle says here, that our prayer life, our prayers are full of weakness. All of our prayers are weak in some way. And he explains it by this. We do not know how to pray as we should. You see, we go through life's difficulties, and we don't know why we're going through them. We don't know what God's plan is for us. We don't know exactly what to pray about them. Do we pray that God gets rid of them? But what if he wants us to have them? You struggle with this, right? What do we pray for people? What if God wants to do something different? How do I pray for myself? We pray in weakness. If I found out I have cancer, do I pray for healing? What if God doesn't want to heal me? Do I pray that God uses this? Is this my time? And God is preparing me to be with him? Then how do I pray? Well, how do I know what God wants? I don't. We live in this in-between time of weakness. If I have 2 job offers, which one do I get? Or do I even pray for a job? What if I'm being selfish in my prayers? What if the more money is not the answer? I don't quite know what to pray because I don't know what God wants. What if I'm being selfish and my motives are mixed? Wait a second, aren't my motives always mixed at some level? You ever struggle with this in your prayers? You're not sure how to pray. What if I'm praying and my mind wanders? You never struggle with that, right? I mean, how is that glorifying to God if I'm praying for something? Next thing you know, I'm thinking about the game or some other, and then 10 minutes later, I remember I was supposed to be praying. These are the weaknesses that Paul speaks of, that we always pray in weakness. What if I doubt when I pray? I'm praying for God to provide, but I'm really doubting if he will. How does God accept that prayer if it's doubt? What if I'm angry at God's will for me? How do I pray then? What if I forget to pray at all, and then a week later I remember, and now I feel bad, because I should have prayed about this before? This is the prayer life of the Christian living in this in-between time. Paul says our prayers are full of weakness, and so we are tempted not to pray. We're tempted to give up. Why pray if I don't even know what God's doing and what he's going to do? How do I even know what to pray for? And if my prayers are all full of my own weakness and sin, how do I know God even listens to them? How do I know that these prayers are even worthy to be heard? Now note, just on a side note, that Paul doesn't give some answer of how to know God's will. How many books are peddled today? You can know God's will for you if you do this. But Paul doesn't say that. Paul says this is life. It's a given that you do not know God's will for you. It's a given that you don't know how to pray because of it, because you do not know his plans for the future, and there's no sort of secret way to know or to hear some voice that will tell you what to do. Paul simply calls this is the weakness of living life before we have all the promises fulfilled. So Paul says something remarkable here to encourage us not to give up praying. He writes, when you pray, you are not praying alone. The Holy Spirit is actually praying with you to help you. Now that word in our first verse for help, it's the only time it appears in the New Testament. It means bear your burdens. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word was used in Numbers 11 in the context of the 70 elders God appointed to help Moses. Let me read that verse. I will come down and talk with you there. This was the tent of meeting. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear the burden alone. So Paul is saying, I know it's a burden to pray. It's difficult to pray, but you are not bearing this burden alone. The Holy Spirit is actually bearing it with you. Now, how does he do that? Paul writes, he intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. Now, groaning reminds you that the Spirit actually feels, he sympathizes with whatever your feelings are. Whatever your longings are in prayer, he feels it too. Because before it says we groan, now it says the Holy Spirit groans. So he's uniting with us in our concerns. Now, some have assumed that this means the gift of tongues, that this is where Paul speaks of tongues. An unspoken language the Spirit speaks through you. But first of all, when Paul does speak of tongues, he lists it as a gift that only a few had back then. Here Paul says, this is true for every Christian. So it couldn't be tongues. Secondly, the Greek word here means unspoken. It simply means it's not audible. The Spirit is praying, but with not audible words. So when we pray, and we pray for things that really aren't in God's will. We pray for this, but that's not God's plan. Or we pray with mixed motives, which we always do at some level. All of our weakness, the Holy Spirit does something remarkable. He actually redirects our prayers to God and makes them right. This is what Paul is teaching. Because the Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we really need. And what we're really asking for, even when we can't put it in the right words or pray the right way. He is telling the Father for us what we really need and what we really desire with our new hearts, even when it's mixed with some selfish motives. So notice what Paul writes here. He says, he prays according to God's will. Isn't that nice to know? We don't always pray according to God's will, do we? But the Spirit prays according to God's will. He takes our imperfect prayers and he redirects them to the Father to reflect God's will. And in verse 27, Paul assures us that his prayers are effectual. He says, the Father searches the hearts. The idea there is he really wants to know what's going on inside us. So he searches what's behind our prayers. He cares. He knows our inward, think of Psalm 139, that he knows our inward thoughts and concerns. And then he reads the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit is the third member of the Trinity, and he knows the mind of the Spirit. So when the Spirit redirects our prayers, the Father hears and then responds. Has the glory of this sunk in at all, what Paul is writing here? How the Spirit is right there every time we pray in weakness, helping us to pray. And so how can our prayers be effectual when we don't even know if we're praying for the right thing? We don't even know what God's plan is, and we're praying for certain things that God may not want to do. How do we know our prayers are effectual if our motives are sometimes mixed, what we're asking for? How do we know they're effectual when our prayers wander, and after a few minutes we have to come back and we're a little embarrassed? How do we know God listens to those prayers? Our prayers are so weak. Paul says the way you can know that is you are not praying alone. God has sent a helper to help you pray. And in all your weakness, the Holy Spirit interprets what you're trying to say, what you mean to say, what is good for you spiritually, and he directs those to God. And God listens to him on our behalf. Not only does he listen to us, he then listens to his Holy Spirit in us, who knows us better than we know ourselves. So God has given you a helper. Think of that now in terms of the Trinity. You have God the Father in heaven who we pray to. God the Son is the reason we have a relationship with the Father, because he sits at the right hand and he died for our sins. And so God the Father sees us through the Son. And then through the Spirit, he hears our prayers. So now God the Spirit is helping us reinterpret our prayers, that they are always right according to God's will. That's why God can accept our prayers even when they're full of weakness. You see that encouragement to pray? That God knows how weak our prayer life is. He knows that we often pray for the wrong things when we ask. And he knows that we struggle to pray. And here the Father is saying, keep praying. I've sent you a helper that you would not bear this burden alone. So whether you're dealing with doubt or struggle or pain, family situations, your own sin, the Bible is teaching you, bring your prayers to God. Recognize that they will be weak. Nobody ever prays without weakness. You've never prayed the perfect prayer. Did you know that? You will never pray this side of heaven just the right prayer, just the right way, where God says, oh, now there's a prayer I'll listen to. Did you hear that one? I've been waiting 10 years for a prayer. No. The Holy Spirit is guiding us in our weakness and helping us. All God's people have this gift, that whenever we pray with all our weakness, the Holy Spirit is helping us. And that is a wonderful gift from the Father through this life of trial in this age. So let's thank him for this wonderful gift. And at the same time, let's pray, right? Pray often. Don't be afraid to pray. Pray in weakness. We have someone to bear our burdens, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to help us in all our prayers. So let's pray now.